So this is the sermon for this morning.
Anyhow, we're talking about Not a Fan. For those of you who have not been with us, this is a series that we've been doing and looking at becoming a true follower of Jesus and not being content to being just a fan of Jesus, but to be a truly committed, completely committed follower of Jesus. And what we're doing is we've been over the last few weeks kind of dissecting the text of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, we have two more lessons that we're going to do. And so today and next Sunday is a two-part lesson that we're going to be doing on the last part of this that we're looking at, taking up our cross daily. My prayer, though, is that you will, though we're finishing with these lessons, that you will carry this message into the new year. Be determined to be a truly, completely committed follower of Jesus. As we look at this, let's start out in talking about symbols and signs and slogans and so forth. You know, the companies out here that we have, that they come up with these really cool symbols, these really cool slogans to use. And the reason that they do that is because they're trying to attract as many people, customers, if you will, to their business as possible. They want to sell as much insurance as they can or as much of whatever it is that they have. And so they use signs and symbols that are attractive, that are pleasing, that get people's attention. So, for example, most of you are familiar with this one, right? And the slogan that goes along with it, you see it at the bottom, "You're in good hands with Allstate," right? Okay, how about this one? MasterCard is what? Come on, y'all don't know this? It's everywhere you want to be. Well, I'm surprised y'all didn't know that. This one I'm sure everybody will know. M&M's, they do what? They melt in your mouth, not in your hands, right? Okay, so we know that when they're doing a good job with their symbols, right? Okay, how about this one? General Electric, we bring good things to life, right? Whoa, I lost something there, okay? Now this next symbol that will be up there is one that's internationally known everybody is drawn to this for sure, okay? Okie dokie smoky, our butts are full of smoke. That is intended to draw customers. If you want to get pork barbecue, then you want butts that have a heavy smoke flavor, and that's what we do. But you see, it's the idea of symbols and signs that we use to attract people to what we have to offer. Jesus chose this symbol, a cross. It was, in his day, perhaps the most despised symbol that there could ever be. And Jesus, when he tells his disciples to take up a cross and to follow him, his reason for doing that was that he wanted everyone to know what they were committing to. You see, Jesus was not interested in attracting a lot of folks just to have a great following of folks. Jesus was interested not in fans, but in followers. And so he used a symbol that would let people know exactly what they could expect if they were going to follow him. He wanted people to know before they made a commitment, that if you're going to follow me, it involves a cross. Now, the cross, in order for us to really be serious about being able to take up our cross, we need to really know what that symbol is all about. See? Because it represents several different things. And so, in order to truly make a commitment to be a follower of Jesus, to take up a cross, we've got to know. What does that really mean? When Jesus said, "Take up a cross and follow me," what was he really saying? What were the people in his day understanding by him saying that and using this symbol in order to attract followers? You think about it, the Romans were experts at executions. They knew how to do it well. And they had a lot of different methods of execution in their day. Okay? And so, if they wanted to execute someone rather quickly, then of course they could just behead them. You see, it was just zap, the head's gone, you know, move on to the next person or what have you. If they wanted someone to just really die slowly, that, in other words, they just kind of wanted to forget about them, not have to deal with them anymore, then, of course, there was the dungeon. Put them in there and just forget about them. Let them die however long it takes. They don't really care. If you really wanted to kill somebody really fast, then you just take out your sword and stab them with it. You see, an execution is over with. So they could do it that way. And, of course, if they wanted someone to feel pain for a long, long time, then there was the cat of nine tails, the whip. They would brutally beat someone with until they would die. And then, of course, there was the Roman Colosseum and all of the different arenas all over the empire where the gladiators would be and where wild animals would be there to tear people apart. So they had all these different methods of executing people. But the cross... the cross was particularly cruel. And the cross, first of all, was a symbol of humiliation. The cross was generally used to execute people where they wanted to send a message. You see, if you put someone in a dungeon, nobody even knows, nobody, they forget about it, no big deal. If you cut off their head, it's over with there. But you hang them out in public on a cross, then it is a symbol of humiliation, usually reserved for those who are rebels, for those who were thieves, for those who were against society, an assault on society. They were hung on a cross because the Romans wanted to make sure that a message was clearly sent. And it was perhaps one of the most humiliating ways for anyone to die in those days. You see, a lot of you came here today to hear a Christmas message, didn't you? Well, you're going to hear one. That's what it's about, you see. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. I want you to turn in your Bible there and look at the message that the Apostle Paul gives. It's a Christmas message that has to do with the cross of Jesus, you see. He writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." You see, the message of Christmas has to do with Jesus, the Son of God, emptying himself. He did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, so he emptied himself. He left his deity in heaven, you see, and he came here, taking on the form of a servant, being found in appearance as a man. And that's what the world is celebrating in this season, isn't it? Jesus coming here as a baby and growing to be a man. But we have to understand what the whole Christmas message is all about. Because you see, God didn't send Jesus here just to be a baby and just to grow up as a person, as a human being. He sent him here, as Paul continues on here, so that he would be obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, that's the complete Christmas message. That Jesus left his deity in heaven and came here as a baby, grew into a man, and humbled himself to die on a cross. You see, Jesus suffered the humiliation of a cross so that you and I would be able to have life. I'm thankful for Christmas. And who cares when it actually occurred? You see? the fact that it occurred is great enough. That Jesus chose to come here and to take on the form of a man, just like us, a human being, but ultimately to go to the cross so that you and I would be free from our sins. So the cross, first of all, is a symbol of humiliation, but secondly, it's a symbol of suffering. A symbol of suffering. When Jesus says to us, if you would come after me, take up your cross. See? And we need to understand that Jesus is calling us to suffer. See? And usually, with a crucifixion, there were a lot of things that occurred beforehand, such as the taunting and the harassments and the beatings and so forth that took place. And then there was the scourging, which is different than the beatings. You see, the beatings are with the hands and the fists and so forth, but then there's the scourging. And then about 125 pounds of rough-hewn wood, the patibulum, the cross piece, was placed upon the condemned person. Over the wounds that they've already suffered in the scourging and the beating, where they were required to carry that cross to the place of execution. You see, carrying a cross always involves suffering. Always involves suffering. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Carrying a cross always involves suffering. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Did you notice what Paul says here? He says, first of all, it has been granted to you. Yeah, think about that. It has been granted to you. In other words, that's a privilege, you see, to be able to suffer for Christ. It has been granted to you to not only believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. We get that privilege in being followers of Jesus. It has been granted to us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You want to know Christ that way. I want to know Christ and the power of His rising, share in His suffering, conform to His death. When I pour out my life to be filled with His Spirit, joy follows suffering and life follows death. I want to know Christ and the power of His rising, share in His suffering, conform to His death. When I pour out my life to be filled with His Spirit, joy follows suffering and life follows death. The cross is a symbol of suffering. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. You get the message here? You see? That if we're going to take up our cross and follow Jesus, then we have to be prepared and ready to suffer. Because the cross is a symbol of suffering. And thirdly, and I think most importantly, the cross is a symbol of death. The cross is a symbol of death. carrying a cross always, always involved death. When the person who was condemned reached the place where they were to be crucified, they were nailed to the cross and hung on it. You see, we've got to understand and keep in mind that crosses were never intended to simply be carried around. That was never a sentence that somebody received. You see, when someone did something against the government, they weren't sentenced to carry their cross for the next mile or 2 miles or the next day or week or what have you. It was never given as a sentence to just simply carry a cross. Carrying the cross was just simply the means to get the method of execution, the implements, to the place where the person was to die. So we have to understand that when Jesus calls upon us to take up our cross, He calls upon us to die. Not just to carry a cross. That's a symbol of what the cross means. Crosses were made to die on. And so when Jesus tells us, if you want to be my disciple, then you've got to take up a cross. You've got to follow me. And Jesus is telling us that you're going to face humiliation. And you're going to face suffering for my sake. And ultimately, you've got to die. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to the world. And when you do that, then you will truly live. See? Wearing a cross as jewelry. A lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that. We wear that cross as jewelry to indicate that we're Christians. But I want to suggest to you that we really, if we're going to wear a cross as jewelry, it needs to be a declaration, a statement of our willingness to die. Not just that we're a Christian. So for those of you who wear crosses as jewelry, whether it's necklaces or earrings or anything else, I want to challenge you to think about it that way. Wear your cross, but wear it as a declaration of your willingness to die. Okay? Because that's what the symbol of the cross is really all about. In our text that we read at the very beginning this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The world does not understand that symbol. They like the M&Ms, you see. But they don't understand the symbol of the cross. And in fact, there are concerted efforts all over this country by groups of folks to get rid of all public displays of crosses. And this is just the latest in the battle, the San Diego War Cross. Has been used since, I think, 1906, I believe, as a memorial for those who have died in our country, in the service of our country. But there are those who want it removed, that and all other crosses from the public arena. Why? Because they're foolish. They don't understand the true message of the cross. What you and I have to keep in mind is if we ever forget, if we ever lose sight of what the symbol of the cross is really all about, then we lose our true identity. Jesus said to us, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Are you willing to face humiliation for Jesus? Are you willing to suffer on His behalf? Are you willing to die? Die to yourself and to live for Jesus. That's the symbol that Jesus chose. And when He calls upon us to take up our cross, that's what He means. We're going to stand and sing a song in just a moment. An invitation song. And I hope that while we're singing this song that you will think about the cross and maybe burn that image in your mind and ask yourself, am I willing to truly die, take up my cross, and follow Jesus? If you haven't given your life to Christ yet, if you've not become a Christian, then you need to understand something. And that something is that you are lost, separated from God by your sins. And you will continue to be lost until you give your life to Christ. That you can do that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, thus taking up your cross and following Him, then you can do that right now, this morning. Confess Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. But maybe you've become a Christian, but you find yourself that you've been more of a fan rather than a follower. Maybe you haven't been willing up to now to really take up the cross. So you've been willing to be inconvenienced at times and to suffer some inconveniences and things of that nature, but never really truly been willing to die for Jesus. You're willing to make that commitment, to renew your commitment to Jesus. Then I offer you the opportunity to do that right now. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up. The invitation is open. Let's stand together and sing.